Yo, Jason, this is your bro Vince Russo. I hear that you are a famous wrestling podcaster, bro. You go by Solo Monster Sounds Off, bro. Sounds like you're a really big deal, bro. As a matter of fact, you're such a big deal that from what I understand, you actually do an imitation of me, Vince Russo, during some of your shows. Let me explain something to you, bro. That's gimmick infringement. That's copyright infringement. So, bro, Jason, unless my check is in the mail, bro, I'm coming after you, bro. There's only one Vince Russo, bro. I'm the original, bro. I'm the original gimmick, bro. There's no imitating me. There's no duplicating me, bro. But you know what? I am kind of flattered, bro, that on the Solo Monster Sound Off, bro, you are paying tribute to me. So you know what, Jason? Since I hear you're a pretty cool guy, I'll give it a pass, bro. But I gotta tell you, I'm gonna check out the show. And if the imitation sucks,
this is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. I am the Solomon Monster. My thanks to Wayne for that. Imagine my surprise when I open my email and I see this attachment and I open the video. I go, what's this video about? And that's the first thing I see. But Wayne, thank you. I appreciate the thought. Now I'm all broed out. Bro, I'm all broed out, bro. Coming off a pay-per-view with that embarrassing production misfire, AEW rebounded with Tony Schiavone's microphone at one point during the show tonight not working. To a few minutes later, we have about, oh, I don't know, maybe about 20 minutes or so of some NBA game. I have no idea what game this audio was from, but we could clearly hear audio from an NBA game laid over the Dynamite audio. They even went to a commercial break. I thought they would fix it. They came back. Same problem. I never thought I'd be watching a wrestling show and I would be hearing the fans in the background chanting defense. But that's what we got tonight. Actually, I was thinking about that. For all the dumb chants that we hear from fans, I'm kind of surprised that defense isn't one that we've heard before. Technical issues aside, this was a very newsworthy episode of Dynamite tonight, the show coming off the Revolution pay-per-view from this past weekend. AEW began to tease new programs with Cody and Penta, Sting and Lance Archer, which is a very weird choice for Sting's next opponent. Although Sting does have history with Lance Archer's manager, going back to their WCW days. Kenny Omega, he's got everybody gunning for his scalp tonight. Eddie Kingston, and even Christian Cage. And someone else who doesn't even wrestle for AEW. We got some news that I got to get into as it concerns the relationship between AEW and Impact Wrestling. We've got some news. There's a pay-per-view coming up this weekend that will have implications for the AEW World Champion. So a lot of different programs either started or teased, and it all built to a big swerve, big development at the end of the show in the main event segment. And that was the Inner Circle War Council. They were very heavily teasing the idea that MJF was going to kick Chris Jericho to the curb, kick him out of his own group. They wanted you to believe that. Didn't work out that way, but MJF got the last laugh. Big swerve to end the show tonight. Basically turning the Inner Circle babyface, and with MJF revealing himself to be the brains and the mastermind behind a new group, a new faction in AEW. On what as I said, was a very newsworthy episode of Dynamite. I thought it was a good show. There were some things about it I did not like, but I thought there were a couple of matches that were very good, including the opener and the TNT title match. Darby did defend his championship on the show tonight. So between that and the big angle they shot at the end and their numerous attempts tonight to try to deflect away from what we saw at the end of the pay-per-view on Sunday, they tried so hard. Bless their hearts. Isn't that what they say in the South? I'm not from the South, but I've heard the expression, bless your heart, bless his heart, bless her heart. Solid Monster will get Southern here for a second. Bless their hearts. They tried. They will never be able to wipe the memory of what happened on Sunday away, but I give them points for at least trying. Now, I mentioned that there was some big news coming out of the episode this week of Impact Wrestling. For those of you who watch Impact, and those of you who don't, that's why I'm here. I'm here to bring you up to speed so you don't have to watch if you don't want to. But there was a big development coming out of the episode on last night, I guess. This Saturday is Impact's Sacrifice. So they have a pay-per-view on Saturday called Sacrifice. It will be champion against champion, title for title. The Impact Wrestling World Champion, Rich Swann, is going to be defending his title against Moose. And Moose, for those who don't know, proclaims himself to be the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Now, you might be asking yourself, I thought that this was Impact. I didn't even know there was a TNA title anymore. Well, there wasn't until last year. And they did an angle where Moose revived the title, and he's been defending it off and on. I guess in a way, it's kind of like his FTW title, if you want to look at it that way. But as of this past, last few weeks, Scott D'Amore has officially sanctioned it. It is now a recognized championship in Impact. And so Moose is going to be defending his TNA World Heavyweight title. He's putting that on the line. It is winner take all. So whoever comes out of the pay-per-view match this weekend, the winner will be the unified, I guess, Impact. Unless Moose wins, then we have a unified TNA, which is very confusing, World Heavyweight Champion. Now, you might be asking yourself, why do I care? I don't care about Impact. What does this have to do with AEW? I'm glad you asked. The reason I bring all of this up is because Scott D'Amore made another announcement on Impact, which is that whoever comes out of this match as the unified champion on Saturday will then move on to the Rebellion pay-per-view, April 24. That is going to be the following Impact pay-per-view. Whether it's Rich Swann or Moose, or if you were to merge the two of them together, I guess they would be, Roos? I don't know. Whoever is the unified champion is going to defend against the AEW World Champion Kenny Omega at Rebellion, and Omega will do the same. So we are going to get another unification match next month. And the winner of that match will be the unified AEW and Impact World Champion. Now, I don't know if they're going to officially merge the belts or Kenny will just be walking around with two titles. But they are now promoting two unification matches, essentially, for the next two pay-per-views. And this is the match we thought we might get. There is an Omega symbol in the logo for the Rebellion poster, so it seemed pretty apparent that Kenny was probably going to be wrestling on that show. And yeah, the way they kind of positioned this is that Don Callis was the mastermind. He helped orchestrate the entire thing. That's why this is happening. Remember, he is still in a position of power and Impact, is Don Callis. So he's pulling the strings. So that's how we are getting this match. And this can end no other way other than Kenny Omega walking out as the one sole world champion. That is the only outcome. That is the only way that this could possibly end. Otherwise, these people don't know what the hell they're doing. Kenny Omega is going to walk out as the unified champion. Impact should be thankful for the exposure that they are getting. They are getting free exposure through this relationship. They should just be thankful for that. And it's paying dividends for them, even in just a small way. It is working for them because we had the news this past week, their Hard to Kill pay-per-view back in January, which had Omega tagging with the Good Brothers against Rich Swann, Chris Sabin, and Moose, who was the replacement for Alex Shelley, That pay-per-view did the second highest buy rate of any Impact pay-per-view since they were cut. They were canceled 7 years ago by Spike TV. And ever since then, it's just been this constant, you know, they Destination America, Pop TV, Access TV. They've been bouncing around with really like no home. Second highest pay-per-view buy rate in 7 years. Second only to the show last summer where they were teasing all these fired WWE guys that might be coming in. So clearly it's having an effect. I don't know that it's having much of an effect on the AEW audience, but certainly for Impact, it's at least having a small effect. But boy, there's a lot of unification going on right now. Kota Ibushi is going to be the new unified IWGP world and intercontinental titles are merging. He's going to be the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. It's a brand new belt, a brand new title lineage. And hey, maybe we really are one step closer to an Omega Ibushi match at some point later this year. Could happen. Strange things are afoot. Hey, Rodimus Prime, thank you for the $50, man. You're awesome. Rodimus is great. Casey in the chat says, Impact sucks. Solomon, sir. Well, hell, hey, tell that to Tony Khan and Don Callis. They're working together. You don't like it? You got to let them know. But there are a lot of people who do like Impact. So they're jumping for joy. I hope they realize that at the end here, their champion is going down for the count. Because to end this any other way would be an absolute fucking joke. So that's your Impact AEW update. Now let's get into the show tonight. And Jared M., I just saw that. Jared M., thank you for the $55, man. That is great. Good to see Jared here joining us on a Wednesday night. Nayef Al-Safar with the $9.99. We got our crew. See, we got a lot of Impact fans in the chat. Look at all these people jumping to Impact's defense. See, KC, they're beating up on you now because you said something bad about Impact. See, that just shows you there are Impact fans here. Not that many of them, but they do exist. We had Matt Jackson of the Young Bucks opening the show tonight against Rey Fénix of Death Triangle, starting out hot. Like a cruiserweight match on Nitro 25 years ago. Hey, the formula worked then. I maintain it works today. You get the show off to a hot start. Pac and Fénix, they won the right to challenge the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team titles at a date to be determined. They haven't announced when that match is going to take place by virtue of their Casino Tag Team Royale win on Sunday. We had a Springboard Destroyer into the ring by Matt Jackson. Fénix rolls out to the floor after the Destroyer. He's trying to give himself some breathing room. Matt Jackson says, I don't think so. Follows him out to the floor. Hits another Destroyer on the floor. I'm not even going to say anything anymore. I've talked about how it makes me very sad to see how the Destroyer has been bastardized. You know, people talk about super kicks and all this stuff. The Destroyer. It breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart to see the move used and abused in this way, but it's a Destroyer on the floor, spiked Fénix right on his head. So now Fénix is dead. He's face down on the ground. Pac comes over. He's trying to rally him up. And at the last minute, Fénix springs to life and dives back into the ring to beat the count. Randy Savage elbow by Matt Jackson connects. I'll give him his props. It looked good. He got some distance. This was a good-looking elbow drop by Matt Jackson. Fénix kicks out. If it was Randy Savage, he would not have kicked out. Towards the end there, Savage, he was compensating for his bad hip. So he was really, when he was dropping elbows on people, he was hurting people. he was breaking bones. I would not have wanted to take an elbow from Randy Savage at the end of his career in WCW. He was a lot bigger back then too, right? A lot more muscular. So imagine him trying to protect his hip, coming down with all that weight. Now that's an elbow. So there was a basement dropkick by Fénix. He was going for Matt Jackson, but he moved and he connected with Nick Jackson. Nick Jackson was outside the ring, hit him by accident, So Matt Jackson decided to return the favor, and he went outside, and he hit Pac with a super kick. And so then it came back down inside to Phoenix and Matt Jackson, traded strikes. They both went for super kicks at the same time. They both kicked each other in the ankle. And in the end, Phoenix hoisted Matt up for the Fire Thunder Driver and got the win. And a big win it is over one half of the tag team champions. But this is, you know, this is how you promote Phoenix and Pac as viable contenders for the titles. You know, they now have a win over one half. I would have to think that we're going to get a match in the next couple of weeks. They didn't promote it for next week. Maybe in a couple of weeks we'll get Pac one-on-one against Nick Jackson. You know, Phoenix had a match many months ago on Dynamite with Nick Jackson. That was better than this. That was just an excellent match. So I wouldn't say this was better or as good as the Phoenix-Nick Jackson match, but this was a lot of fun. I thought this was a hot opener, great way to open the show. Again, I put it just a little bit below the Phoenix-Nick Jackson match, but very good stuff here. John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. I did say they were trying to do damage control on this show, and they were. They were indeed. It's hard because I thought they missed a real opportunity to think on their feet. And what they should have done at the end of the pay-per-view on Sunday, as soon as they realized what had happened. Now, you still would have had to explain why Eddie Kingston just passed out. And they tried to tonight. That was still embarrassing. But you should have called an audible and just sent Omega and Callis right back out onto the stage at the end of Revolution, just cackling, doubled over in laughter, pointing and mocking. This was their plan all along. We made you look like fools. That would have at least, I think that would have done a good job of trying to save things. Instead, they tried to do it on this show. And we got something good out of it. So there are some, there's something positive coming out of this. Because now we have a union. A repaired relationship. A repaired friendship. Between Moxley and Eddie Kingston, who filmed this segment. They were sitting on a couch. I don't know. There was a flame in front of them. I don't know where the fuck these guys were. Moxley is sitting there looking like Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. He's got the sunglasses on. Eddie is doing all the talking. And Eddie Kingston says, okay, let me explain what happened at the end of Revolution on Sunday. It's all that anybody is talking about. Here's the deal. Here's what happened. And he explains that as he was shielding John Moxley and expecting there to be this great big boom, right? He thought he was going to be maimed or killed. He had a flashback, PTSD. And he had a flashback to the time that he was in jail. And he had very serious anxiety. You could see the guard, I think he said, walking back and forth. And he was very anxious, thinking that he was going to go to jail. He was going to go to prison for the rest of his life. And he was so anxious and so worried that he passed out. This reminds me of Tony Soprano on The Sopranos, who used to have panic attacks, right? This is like Eddie Kingston's version of a Tony Soprano panic attack. Whenever, like Tony, when he was a young lad, when he was a young Italian, his mother would make him very anxious and he would pass out, right? That was the whole deal with Tony. So that was his way of explaining what happened. And he starts going off on Kenny Omega as if Kenny meant for that to happen, saying, what do you think? This is a joke? Are you the Joker? You're trying to mock us and you're trying to mock me. So finally, Moxley pipes up. And I will say this one line nearly did the trick. As far as making me forget about what happened on Sunday and making up for the entire thing, almost. Not quite, but almost. He piped up and he said, Impact paid for the bomb. He blamed Impact Wrestling for the botched explosion at the end of the pay-per-view. And I laughed. Didn't quite save it. But boy, did they try. I thought that was a great line. Blaming him, just blame Impact for it. It's like people who blame Canada, right? Isn't that the South Park thing? Just blame Canada. anything goes wrong, just blame Impact. If there's a botch, something embarrassing happens, it's Impact's fault. They got a nice rich history of that. Just blame Impact. I like it. Anything goes wrong during my stream here, I'm just going to blame Impact. And people will believe me. Just blame Impact, blame Josh Matthews. So Moxley, he did think that Kenny was really trying to blow him up. He wasn't buying this whole thing that Kenny meant for that to happen. And he said, did the bomb have the word Acme on the side of it? So they were poking fun at it. But then he said, he warned Kenny Omega. He said, Omega, the good brothers, listen up. When you flash a weapon, you better use it. I loved the interplay between Moxley and Kingston. I could see them doing some tag team work at some point, going after the tag team titles. So I like the fact that they are now reunited, and I want to see them do more joint promos like this together, because this was one of the best things on the entire show. I was very entertained by this segment. So I want to see more of that. I like this pairing. We had Cody Rhodes. Cody was going one-on-one with Seth Gargis, who I guess has wrestled a couple of matches. I think he has an 0-for-2 record on Dark. Beat him very quickly with a figure four leg lock. I mean, this guy got nothing in. Nothing. And he looked like generic guy number 14. So Cody beat him quick. Tony Schiavone comes into the ring, and this is where his microphone failed him. So Cody fetched him a new one and pitched it over to him. And we were back in business. And he's asking Cody about his shoulder, because Cody has a legitimate shoulder injury. He has a partial tear in his shoulder. Before he could even speak, though, he's interrupted by a voice. And I didn't even recognize who the voice was at first. And then they cut, and you see that, I guess, doing Spanish language commentary at the desk was Penta. Penta El Cerro Miedo. He's sitting there, and he's addressing Cody. And he tells one of the announcers that they have one of their bilingual announcers, Alex Abrantes, stand up. You'll come and translate for me. And he tells Cody to shut up. He says, I'm 1,000 times better than you. If Cody is the prince of pro wrestling, then I am the lord of Lucha Libre, which I think is a great nickname, by the way. So Penta spoke a little bit of English as well. He said, Cody lost a revolution. Had it been one-on-one, just Penta one-on-one with Cody, he would have lost even worse. He said he would have hurt Cody's arm so bad that he would not be able to pick up his newborn baby girl. And before he could even finish getting the words out, those were the trigger words. And Cody just dives out of the ring and runs into the crowd, and we have a big brawl. And referees come over to try to break it up. They have this big pull apart. I guess that's kind of the equivalent of anybody in WWE telling Triple H that he forgot his balls in his wife's purse. Always does the trick. If you want something out of Triple H, that's all you got to do. We've had Randy Orton say that. We've had CM Punk say that. I don't know if AJ Styles said it. I think Randy Orton said it twice. Just say, look, your wife must be carrying your balls around in her purse. And that's it. You'll get whatever you want. So I guess for Cody, if you say anything about his soon-to-be-born child or his family or anything, then that's it. That sets him off. So this felt very forced. It just kind of came out of nowhere. I think Cody and Penta is fine. I mean, you got two big names in there, and I want to see Penta doing something. I know he was hurt for a while. I guess now he's okay. But this felt forced. It just came out of nowhere. You know, just out of thin air. But it's something for them to do. We had Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. They were at an arcade somewhere, and Chuck Taylor cut a promo talking about fucking Miro and Kip Sabian. I said this when I did the review on Sunday. I said, please, please, let this be the end of this program. I said, it probably won't be. I'm positive we're headed for a singles match between Miro and Orange Cassidy, but I was hopeful we can move away from this. But no. Oh, no. We're not done yet. So Chuck says, look, he wants another fucking match with Miro. He says, this time, if I lose, we lose. Was it for a singles match or a tag? I don't even remember. I was so disgusted by this. It might have been a pitch for a tag match. I don't recall. But if they lose, if Chuck loses, he goes, I will be your butler for the rest of your life. You want me to be your butler again? You want me to be Charles the butler? I will be your butler forever. But my buddy OC over here, he had an interesting idea. And that is that we surround the ring for this match with arcade games. So that way he can put your head through each and every single one of them. So we are now headed for an arcade match where basically these arcades are going to be like lumberjacks around the ring. So this program, this feud, this story is not over. It continues on. I don't know why. I really don't know why this needs to continue on, but it does. And I think that sucks because I'm just over it. I'm just over the whole thing. Can we move Miro onto something else, please? Please? We had Sting come out for a promo with his BFF, Tony Schiavone. And Tony is interviewing Sting on stage, and Sting says that Darby Allin is a dangerous man. And at Revolution, you combine him with the Stinger, and you get a win for the Stinger. Sting won his first match in 5 years. He's very excited. Out comes Lance Archer. Lance Archer has a microphone. Jake Roberts is with him. And Lance Archer says that if I'm not going to be given time, then I'm going to take it. And he says, I didn't have to win the ladder match on Sunday to prove that I am the face of the Revolution. Tony Schiavone said, look, guys, come on. This is Sting's time here. Archer said, oh, I'm so sorry. We'll leave. And Jake Roberts, he grabbed the mic and he said something to Sting. And I thought he called him the Stanger. I think that's what he called him. He says, sorry, Stanger. And then he just walks away. I don't know what that was about, but all I could think of is the coal miner's glove. As I see Jake and I see Sting, I am reminded of their history at Halloween Havoc many, many years ago. In fact, almost 30 years ago. Is it 30 years? I guess it is, almost 30 years ago. So we had a WCW reunion here between Sting and Jake. Now that is a match I do not need to see, but it would appear as if they were either teasing a match between Sting and Archer, that seems obvious, or maybe they weren't. Maybe they were planting a seed for what will be Archer challenging Darby Allin for the TNT title, since Darby, right, Sting was putting over Darby. Darby's a dangerous man. He's, they're buddies now. That would at least make sense. And I think you could put the TNT title on Archer. That would be a fine choice if you wanted to get the belt off Darby. But I think of Archer as an opponent for Sting, and I'm just thinking, boy, that's quite the mismatch here at this point in Sting's career. I don't know about that match. That just sounds like a bad idea to me. We had All Ego. Ethan Page taking on Lee Johnson of the Nightmare Family. Poor Ethan Page. Poor, poor, poor Ethan Page. I'm happy to see him getting an opportunity in AEW. A lot of people who watch Impact more than I do were always very complimentary of him when they would email me and say, oh, you got to check out this match or the North or whatever. And so to see him getting this opportunity is very cool. But he debuted on a pay-per-view where there was a much bigger name being hyped and promoted, and it just totally overshadowed his debut. On top of that, you come to Dynamite tonight, and this is where the NBA audio that was kind of seeping into the broadcast was heard in the background. It was very noticeable. It was very distracting. You could hear the crowd. You can hear the PA system and the fan chants. And so they had an inset promo for him where he cut this promo and I could barely hear what he was saying. And for the entirety of his match, I was completely distracted by this NBA game that was clearly going on in the background from maybe some other dimension. I don't know. this guy can't catch a break. So this went through a commercial. What I do know is that he won his match. You always want to do that in your first match. You want to win if you can. Usually, I think back to like Lucha Underground. And I think almost everyone, not everyone, but almost everyone who would make their debut, I felt like they lost in their first match. It was like a custom on that show for some reason. But Ethan Page here, he's got a variation of a Razor's Edge. He calls it the Ego's Edge. And instead of just dropping the guy down, he throws them. So he hit his finish and got the win. Now, after the match was over, he was beating down on Lee Johnson. He was you know, raining blows down upon him until Dustin Rhodes ran out and chased him off. QT Marshall, right? Resident member, coach of the Nightmare family. He was out there. He came to the ring with Lee Johnson for this match, but he didn't lift a finger. The entire time that Lee Johnson was being beaten up after the match, he didn't try to help him until Dustin came out and made the save. Now, if you remember what happened on Sunday at the pay-per-view in the Tag Team Battle Royal, there was a bit of a miscue between Dustin and QT, and QT basically threw his hands up and said, fuck this, and he walked out on his partner. When Dustin came out here to make the save, they cut to QT, who was, again, walking off, as if he didn't want to have anything to do with Dustin. So he walked away. And all I'll say about this is, I just cannot bring myself to care about the Nightmare family. I don't care. Dustin and QT, who gives a shit? I don't care. So I really just can't bring myself to get into any of this. Lee Johnson, for the time that he was in there with Ethan Page, they both look good, you know? Two young guys who you know, could end up being very big stars in the future in this company. Ethan Page, though, he's well on his way. Lee Johnson has a ways to go. But a win for Ethan Page here on his first night. Just too bad we couldn't hear what he had to say. Earlier in the day, Alex Marvez caught up with Hangman Adam Page, who got a big win on Sunday in his big money match with Matt Hardy. He wins Matt Hardy's earnings for the entire first quarter of 2021 and his licensing money. All belongs to Hangman now. And he is on his brace, riding his brand new zero-turn lawnmower. He says he donated most of Matt's earnings to charity. So most of the money is gone, but he wanted to buy himself this mower and some whiskey. The Dark Order showed up. They climbed onto the mower so Paige could take them to go get some ice cream. Alan Angels was not able to fit, so he was left behind. And so it's exactly what I said it would be last week, which is Hangman wins because Matt Hardy should not be beating Hangman Page. Hangman wins. And he takes his... Now, I didn't know he was going to go give all the money to charity. I would have had a little more fun with it before giving the rest to charity. But it's what I said, where he's going to give some money to the Dark Order. Or the Dark Order is going to, in some way, benefit from this great wealth that they've now fallen into. And they'll do some comedy on being the elite. And that's exactly what they're doing. And I think it's fine right now for Hangman, but they've got to transition him into something a little more meaningful in the next few weeks. You know, I don't want to see this guy floundering for too long, because this is somebody that you, in the next few months, you want to start grooming this guy and building him back up to a point where people can expect him to be challenging for the championship. To do that now seems kind of silly, because he's been, you know, pushed down the card a little bit. And for now, that's okay, but this can't go on for much longer. At some point, they got to give him someone or something meaningful to do, whoever that might be. A higher profile feud than Matt Hardy. This is a guy you've got to start building him up to the latter part of the year. I'm telling you, Hangman and Omega is a program they can absolutely revisit for that world title. But for now, he's spending his newfound fortune. Tony Schiavone, the resident interviewer on this show, Tony Schiavone was set to interview Christian Cage. Christian was the big acquisition who debuted at Revolution on Sunday. Christian has said that there was no contract signed. He had reached a verbal agreement with Tony Khan It all came together very quickly. But when Big Show went on Dynamite a week ago and said, I've got the big scoop, big signing, we're going to reveal who it is. He's going to sign his contract in the ring on the Revolution show this Sunday. He claims there was no signed contract. He signed his contract. I guess that was his contract that he signed. So, theoretically, he could have changed his mind and said, you know what? I think I'm going to stick with WWE. And then Tony Khan would have been fucked. But Christian's an honorable guy. Christian didn't want to burn any bridges. So before he can introduce Christian for this interview, Tony Schiavone is interrupted by Kenny Omega's, for his cleaner entrance, the cleaner ladies, they're coming out with their brooms and they're sweeping, and out comes Kenny Omega with Don Callis and the Good Brothers. And Don Callis now has his own take on trying to explain away what happened at the end of the pay-per-view on Sunday. Says that everything at Revolution went according to plan, except one thing, and that, of course, was the big explosion at the very end. But it made him very happy to take away what the fans wanted. They took away what the fans wanted. And so it made him very happy. He said that they took away Moxley's big hero moment and Eddie Kingston's heroism. Callis called it a win-win. If the explosives go off, Moxley is maimed. But if not, then Moxley is left to look like a fucking idiot, which is pretty much what happened. Moxley and Kingston were left to look like an idiot. There he is. There's Christian. I thought that, you know, you want to position Christian on the screen in a way that sort of matches. I just go back to when he returned in ECW many years ago, where he just came out. Was it Todd Grisham? Yeah, we've had some epic announcing calls from Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone and other people over the years. When somebody comes back, right? When there's like a big superstar return, it's so-and-so, or Jim Ross will just like lose his mind. I will never forget when Christian came back, it's Christian. So I thought Christian's sort of popping into frame here. It kind of fits. So there he is. Say hello, everybody. Everybody in the chat, say hello. Christian is 47 years old. So I want everybody in the chat to type 47 in celebration of Christian. So Omega now said that he was getting goosebumps just imagining Jon Moxley getting vaporized inside the ring. But now, instead, he will cherish the memory of not only beating Jon Moxley, but eliminating him. He will cherish the memory of eliminating him by beating him, by humiliating him, by making him look like a fool. Eddie Kingston comes out. Agent 47. I like it. Who said that? Christian is Agent 47. Boy, I played that game a long time ago. Never did beat it, never did finish it, but yeah, Hitman codename 47. That's going back a while. So Eddie Kingston comes out. Before he could speak, though, Callis talks about seeing Kingston's talent at Impact. We read you in Impact, and I saw your talent there. He said, I had to fire you because every time you got close to success, you would screw it up. Called Eddie Kingston a screw-up. And Callis gave Kingston 10 seconds to retreat. They were mocking what happened at the end of the pay-per-view. They put the big countdown on the screen with the sirens blaring and everything. And Kenny Omega had a line here as they were trying to reenact what happened at the end of Revolution. Said to Don Callis, quick, Don, 69 me. And he laid down and he had Callis lay on top of him and they had this overhead camera shot. I will not soon forget the words. Don, 69 me. Were not words that I expected to hear when I tuned into this show tonight. And if Kenny Omega and Tony Khan and all of them in AEW think that by saying, Don, 69 me, is going to make me forget about what happened on Sunday, I don't think so. But I will not forget those words. I would like to forget those words, but I will not forget those words. So So Kenny Omega asks, what Eddie Kingston hopes to accomplish? What is it that you hope to accomplish by coming out here and doing this? He challenges him to hit him. He goes, I'll even give you a free shot. I'll give you a free shot. He's just egging him on and taunting him. And finally, Eddie says, well, hey, fuck it. And he pops off and punches him right in the face. And of course, immediately the Good Brothers attack. John Moxley runs out. And he and Eddie Kingston clean house together. All of a sudden, we have another countdown on the screen, which is part of Christian's entrance. It counts down. Out comes Christian. It's just him and Kenny Omega in the ring. They come face to face. The big first time confrontation between Kenny Omega and Christian Cage. And Omega is, you know, puts his hand out to shake his hand. Christian doesn't want to shake his hand. So Omega goes to punch him. Christian dodges it. He goes to give him the kill switch. Or the unprettier. I guess you can call it either one. He's used both names for it. Callis saves him. Pulls him out of the ring. And Christian picks up the AEW World Championship, but he gazes at it, and then he puts it back down, and he leaves. Before people start, you know, freaking out about, oh my God, they're going to go right into Christian and Kenny Omega for the AEW World title, and they have rankings, what are they doing? Or, you know, here's another ex-WWE guy getting a title shot right away. I saw this as nothing more than a tease for a match that we will eventually get. We're going to see all these matches. We're going to get Christian against John Moxley. We're going to get Christian against Kenny Omega. We're going to get Christian against Darby Allin. Maybe, who knows? Maybe Sting at some point. All of these matches will happen. Christian is here. He's wrestling full-time. And he's got a multi-year deal. I saw this as a tease for what is to come, but not a match that we're going to be seeing anytime soon. So do not freak out. Do not panic. Do not despair. I do not see this match happening anytime soon. They would be foolish anyway to go right into this. One thing I liked that they did here in this segment, they have set up multiple people now who are gunning for Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega is the champion. He now has a whole bunch of different people who are coming for him and who are coming for his title. John Moxley is still in the mix. Eddie Kingston, right? We're probably going to get something with maybe a TV match with Omega and Eddie Kingston. Now they're teasing something with Christian, even though I don't see that happening for a while. We know that Omega is going to be wrestling the Impact Champion on their pay-per-view next month and probably unifying all of those belts. So I like the fact that Kenny Omega, he's their champion, right? He's supposed to be the number one guy. Even if you don't look at Kenny Omega and believe that he's, you know, the top guy in the wrestling business, it is on AEW's part that it is up to them to position him in that way. You want him to come off as the most important person in the company and in the business. He's the most sought after. He's the guy that everybody is gunning for. And now you've got all these different people who have laid claim to the title or they want to get a piece of this guy. And I like that. It reminds me of Kevin Owens. When Kevin Owens was the NXT champion, there was a period when Kevin Owens, not long after he came into WWE, where he must have been feuding with about five or six different people at once. So he had stuff going with Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, John Cena, maybe Neville, I don't remember, but like one or two other people. And I said then too, like, I like this. I like the fact that everybody hates this guy's guts. And they want a piece of him. And he's got all of these different matches. He had like 6 months worth of programs already set up. Kenny Omega has at least 6 months worth of pay-per-view matches already set up. So I like that. That's the biggest thing about this coming out of it that I really do like. We had Hikaru Shida, the AEW Women's Champion, teaming with Rio Mizunami and Thunder Rosa. Take on Nyla Rose, who had Vicky Guerrero in her corner, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and everyone's favorite, Maki Ito. Maki Ito back again after her appearance at Revolution. The babyfaces started beating up the heels before the match. Maki Ito on stage was doing, hey, Ali Nadim, thank you, my friend. Thank you for the $5. Maki Ito is doing her big pop star singing entrance, all while her partners are getting the shit kicked out of them. She's performing like she's on American Idol. She's singing away, big smile on her face. I thought the match itself was very messy. It just felt like kind of a mess in a lot of parts. Thunder Rosa made a tag to Sheeta. Mizunami, Baker, and Ito, they got in the ring. Things were just all over the place. Rosa and Baker ended up being left alone in the ring after everybody cleared out. Rosa landed a tornado splash onto a pile of all the women who were gathered out on the floor. Maki Ito landed a very ugly-looking swinging DDT. It was pretty bad. In the ring on Rosa for a near fall. Rebel jumped on the apron with her crutch. I almost said her crotch. That too. She jumped up on the apron with her crotch and her crutch and distracted Thunder Rosa. Maki Ito went for another DDT, but Rosa countered into the Fire Thunder Driver for the win. After the match, Britt Baker applied lockjaw to Thunder Rosa. Rebel, while she's locked in this hold, Rebel is trying to, she's trying to put the crutch like through like her head. There's like a gap. She's trying to fit her head through it. And the heels all celebrate and they all walk to the back together. Backstage, we had Matt Hardy with Private Party, and Matt Hardy was despairing after his loss at Revolution. Told Private Party, got to bring in more money after his big loss to Hangman Page, and he said that he had more than enough money to sustain them until April Fool's Day, but he signed some more people to the Money Matt Empire. He has brought in some new faces. And the new members are The Butcher, The Blade, and The Bunny. They're the new members of the Money Matt faction. He said that they would destroy four people on Elevation this Monday. Elevation is the new YouTube show. It debuts on Monday. Tony Schiavone and Paul White are your announcers. And there's already a match announced. Jungle Boy is taking... Oh, who is Jungle Boy wrestling? I should have written it down. But Jungle Boy has a match on Elevation on Monday. So that is the new show if you want to check it out on YouTube. I think Monday it's, I want to say 7. 7 Eastern probably. We had Darby Allin against Scorpio Sky for the TNT Championship. Darby Allin was a little worse for wear coming off of his street fight on Sunday. But then again, Scorpio Sky was in a ladder match. So, I mean, really... You could say that they were pretty much an even playing field. They were both pretty beat up. Mutual respect from both men before the bell. And Scorpio, you know, occasionally he would flash a little bit of frustration when Darby Allin sort of out-wrestled him and he didn't quite know how to figure him out. Little teases, little hints of what was to come. So Darby sent Scorpio to the floor. And Scorpio avoided a dive. Darby Allin tried to flip up into the ring. In doing so, he sold his ankle, like he hurt his ankle, and that allowed Scorpio Sky to take control. Darby hit Code Red for a very close near fall, and he got met by a big boot from Sky, German suplexes from Scorpio. Darby tried to escape. Scorpio hit another German, this time into the top turnbuckle. So the back of Darby's head hits the top turnbuckle. Scorpio countered Darby's suicide dive in the highlight of the match, maybe the highlight of the night. Scorpio's outside the ring, and Darby Allin, like Rey Fénix, does this quick running dive, right? Rey Fénix and Darby, those are the two guys. When they do the suicide dive, the torpedo through the ropes, it looks like they're trying to kill someone. And if you're going to do a dive, then that's how it should look. So I don't mind them doing dives, aside from the fact that they're gonna seriously hurt themselves one day. But, hey, that's the risk you run. But as Darby is coming through for the suicide dive, Scorpio timed it perfectly. And he hit an RKO out of nowhere. This was Randy Orton-esque in how he connected with this cutter on the floor. Rolls Darby back inside. Now, if this was Randy Orton, that would be the end of the match. But it's not, so Darby kicked out. Scorpio hits a brainbuster for a near fall. Darby fires up, goes for the coffin drop. Sky turns it into a powerbomb. So Scorpio Sky goes for the TKO, and the TKO turns into the TKO no. And Darby cradles him and pins him to retain the TNT title. After the match, Darby tried to pay respect to Scorpio Sky. Scorpio attacked him, locked on a heel hook, would not release the hold. Finally, he did. He was looking at his hands like he's Bob Backlund or something. But he smiled. He was proud of what he had done. And Tony Schiavone later on made another observation. This one made me cringe. I don't know why they would acknowledge this on TV. Later on, Schiavone points out, he goes, you know, I noticed something. When Scorpio Sky left to go back to the dressing room, he left through the other tunnel. He didn't go back through the tunnel he came out of. So basically, he went through the heel tunnel instead of the babyface tunnel. Now, I know, like, Impact had those tunnels. Like, AEW is not the first promotion to have babyfaces come through one entranceway, heels come through another. That's hardly a new concept. But I don't know that I've ever heard anybody just openly acknowledge it on television, like, oh, well, he just went through the heel tunnel, so he must be a real jerk now. Why do you even have to mention it? Does it even have to be mentioned on television when you're in kayfabe here? You know, like, come on. I just thought that was just cringeworthy. Why even acknowledge something like that during the show? You're basically just saying, oh, he went through the heel tunnel. I just thought that was dumb. So whoever told him to acknowledge that, I would not have done that. The match itself, I thought, was very good. They had a very good match. The heel turn for Scorpio Sky has been cemented. He was already turning heel. We noticed that on TV last week, the way he was acting when he sat in on commentary. But the heel turn now seems to be, if it's not complete, it's pretty close. We'll see if SCU confronts him, if Kazarian and Daniels say, hey, dude, what's going on, you know? We'll see if they do any of that, but I thought the match itself was very good. And then we had the main event segment. Kayfabe, the genius says Kayfabe is dead. Kayfabe's been dead for a while. I'm still trying to, as you could tell, I am still trying to come to grips. I have not yet accepted the fact that Kayfabe is all the way dead. I know it's been like 97% dead. But as long as there's still some cells that are alive in there, you know, you try to kind of hold on to it. Then they have something like this, and it just drives home the point that it's just all the way fucking dead. Just one of those things that doesn't really have to be mentioned. It's sort of like, some people will notice it on their own. But to have your announcers mention the tunnel he came out of, and come on, it's just stupid. So the final segment was the Inner Circle holding its war council with Chris Jericho, MJF, Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz. No Wardlow, which was very noticeable. It would become very apparent shortly why there was no Wardlow. So Chris Jericho says, when groups are having troubles or issues of some kind, they have a war council. And he teased the fact that, you know, hey, maybe we've reached a point where, you know, something's got to give. Maybe we have to add a new member. He was teasing that they might actually add a new member. And MJF stopped him and said, whoa. Just hold on there a second. But before he can really get into what he was going to say, Sammy Guevara's music hits, and here comes Sammy Guevara. And the announcers, it might have been Schiavone, said, oh my God, how long has it been since we've seen Sammy Guevara? I think it's only been like 3 weeks. Hasn't been that long. But I guess in terms of today's wrestling, that's a long time. So Sammy Guevara comes out and Jericho's trying to talk over him. He goes, Chris, just listen to me. Just listen to me. Have something I want to show you. And he pitches it to some footage on the giant screen weeks ago. When the Inner Circle were hanging out in their dressing room, it shows Sammy setting up a hidden camera. And he leaves, and then they go through all the time-lapse footage, and it ends with MJF, with some of the members of the Inner Circle, talking about the fact, basically, you could tell he was plotting to oust Chris Jericho from the group. And now it's all there in living color, right there on video on the big screen. And Jericho says, you know, actually before Jericho said anything, he kind of turns to MJF. And MJF says, well, Chris, I didn't want you to find out this way, but get him. Expecting that all the members of the Inner Circle were going to attack Chris Jericho. And as they begin to walk towards Jericho and Sammy, right? So here comes Hager and Santana and Ortiz. Instead, they turn to face MJF and they stand with Jericho. So the Inner Circle is united. All against MJF, who's all by himself. There's no Wardlow. And that's when Jericho says to MJF, he tells him, shut up, you son of a bitch. You really didn't think that we don't talk to each other? We talk to each other. We've been watching you. We know what's going on. We're not stupid, which is debatable. But he goes, we know exactly what you've been trying to do. We know exactly what your end game is here. We know why you wanted to be part of this group. He goes, I'm the one who brought you into the Inner Circle, and I'm going to be the one that takes you out. And he shoves him on his ass. And now MJF is cowering in the corner. Oh, please, no, no, you know, don't beat me up. But then his demeanor changes. And he says, you know, I don't need this group. I've been building my own. I've been busy building my own army. And that's when the lights go out. And when the lights come back on, we see in the ring a team that was conspicuous by its absence from that casino battle royale on Sunday. I had a few people ask me about that. Hey, you know, how come, where's FTR? How is FTR not in this tag team battle royal? I didn't really have a good answer. But it was obvious now, looking back, they were keeping them out for a reason. Lights come back on. It's FTR, Tully Blanchard, Sean Spears, and Wardlow. And they all attack the Inner Circle. They attack Jericho. They attack Hager. Santana and Ortiz, Sammy, all of them. Inner Circle's outnumbered. They attack the Inner Circle. Harwood smashes a bottle over Hager's head. That takes him out. Sean Spears has a chair set up, like wedged in the corner between the buckles. And he basically curb stomps Sammy Guevara headfirst right through the chair in the corners. That takes Sammy out of the picture. Harwood and Wheeler, they handcuff Santana and Ortiz. Because if there's one thing that we've seen more than kidnappings, I think, on all these wrestling shows in recent weeks and months, I would say probably handcuffs are the next thing. We could probably dial that back too. But they handcuff Santana and Ortiz, and then they turn them upside down while Tully Blanchard heads up to the middle rope to come off for the double spike pile driver. So they gave a spike pile driver to Santana and Ortiz while their hands were handcuffed behind their back. MJF takes out Jericho with the Dynamite Diamond Ring. They had the camera off Jericho for a few seconds. Obviously, he was bleeding. When they cut back to him, you can see the blood coming down his head. And they get this camera shot of Jericho crawling over to Floyd, the baseball bat. He's reaching out to grab the bat. And MJF steps on his hand, tells Tully to pick up the bat and give it to him. MJF takes the bat, hits Jericho in the gut, then hits him in the face. So they drag Jericho's body out onto the stage. Wardlow then sets him up for a powerbomb, and he powerbombs Chris Jericho off the stage down through two tables that are set up below. They got this great shot from down below looking up. You see all the members of really what are the new horsemen, I guess, in AEW. And that is how they went off the air. So we have ourselves a brand new horseman-esque faction. I said fashion. The new horseman fashion on QVC. We have a new horseman type faction. I don't know what they're going to call them. I'm sure they'll come up with a decent name for them. They can't call them the horsemen, I don't think. But they have, the difference is the horsemen were four, right? Maybe five with JJ. Here they have six. If you include Tully, FTR, Wardlow, MJF and Sean Spears. That's a healthy number of people. Six is a lot. for a group. Now, that wouldn't be a lot in the NWO. In the Nightmare family, that's nothing. But for a typical faction, six is a big number. And I love it. I think this is the best role for MJF. If he's going to be part of a faction, and I was never sold on him being part of a group because he just comes off to me as being better off on his own, as like a lone wolf. If he's going to be part of a group, he should be leading the group and doing most of the talking for them. So now MJF truly has a family. He has a group that he can lead. He has a group of his own. And if you are an old school fan looking at this and saying, okay, you're looking for kind of shades of the old Four Horsemen, you've got a little bit of that in here. You've got Tully. Tully, in effect, is like the JJ now of the group, right? He's the old veteran. He was a part of the Horsemen many years ago. FTR are like wannabe Horsemen. They love all things NWA and old school and Bret Hart. And I mean, these guys are old school to the bone. So I'm sure they're loving this. They're loving being part of a group. They're like the Arn and Tully now of this group. MJF would be the Flair. Wardlow would, what would Wardlow be? Wardlow would be what? Luger? Sean Spears would be Barry Windham, but not nearly as talented. I mean, Barry Windham was pretty talented. So that's what we got here. I think it's a great role for MJF. I guess the Inner Circle now are being positioned as the babyfaces. So they're now going, at least for this feud, they're going to be the babyfaces. And the other thought I had coming out of the show, and I have no idea if this is what they're planning or not. I almost feel like it would be a waste because we're so close. I feel like we're close. I don't know how many more months close, but we're close to being able to get out of Daly's place and get into actual venues. I don't know if they'll be able to pack the venues right away or if it'll still be a certain capacity that it'll be capped at. But I do think inside of this year, you're going to see AEW back out on the road, going to other places and getting a few thousand people in buildings. And so to do it now would be like you're so close to being able to get in front of a bigger crowd. But the show ends, and I'm thinking, this might be our new Blood and Guts match. The Blood and Guts match they were going to do in Newark a year ago was going to be the Inner Circle against the Elite. Well, there is no more Inner Circle against the Elite. That is over and done with. Now the Inner Circle are going to be babyfaces. And the Elite has fallen apart. Maybe now this new faction and the Inner Circle is going to be the setup maybe for this Blood and Guts. You know they're going to do it at some point, right? This is going to be their War Games match, two rings. That was the whole premise of it. I don't know if they're still saving it for Newark at some point, but it seems to me like you now have two groups. If you want to get a Blood and Guts match in, this could be it. This could be your Blood and Guts pairing here, these two groups facing off against each other. Next Wednesday, it is the St. Patrick's Day Slam edition of Dynamite. It is a taped show. Jon Moxley tagging with Eddie Kingston against the Good Brothers. We've got Cody taking on Penta El Cerro Miedo. Jurassic Express and Bear Country taking on Matt Hardy, Private Party, The Butcher and the Blade. Jade Cargill will be in action. See, so now there's no more smoke and mirrors. There's no more Shaq and Cody. Now it's just Jade Cargill. Now we're going to start to see how good she really is. Although this will only be her second match. So I guess you got to go easy on her, but we're going to see what she's capable of at her experience level. It's also a taped show. So if anything goes wrong, they could just edit it out. But the big news is there's a big main event coming up next Wednesday. For the first time ever, the women are going to headline an episode of Dynamite. And it is going to be an unsanctioned lights out match. The last time we had one of these, it was Full Gear 2 years ago between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. And we had barbed wire and all kinds of weapons and blood and shit. They're doing an unsanctioned match, lights out, between Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. And that is your main event of Dynamite next week. I like it. I like it. It's throwing them right into the fire. I have no doubt in my mind that Thunder Rosa, I mean, she'll thrive in this environment. The real question is, how's Britt Baker going to do? We have not seen Britt Baker in this kind of match before. And I like Britt Baker. And I've even argued that I wish she would have been the one to take the title from Shida. Not because I think Britt Baker is, you know, even a better wrestler than Shida. But I love how her heel persona has been built up. I think she has improved in the ring from where she was, you know, even a year ago. I do think she's improved. But this is a whole other ball game here, right? This is a totally different type of match. I think it's right in Thunder Rosa's alley. I think she'll do well. I'm very anxious to see how this match turns out next week. I like it. I like it. It kind of reminds me of when Lucha Underground did... What was the name? They had a name for it, but they headlined an episode. I think it was Sexy Star against... Oh, my God. Mariposa. The Mariposa. That's what it was. And those women, they killed it. They killed it in that match. So that's your main event coming up next Wednesday. We'll see how that turns out. It's different. It's definitely different. Hey, at least it's not some kind of six-man tag, eight-man tag. Here's the Twitter poll so far for Dynamite tonight. 79% thumbs up, about 21% thumbs down, with 1,200 votes in. Over on the NXT side, about half that number of votes, 64.5% thumbs up to 35.5% thumbs down. There were two big announcements being hyped and being promoted for NXT tonight. I know what one of them was. Actually, I know what both of them were. I was going to wait until later and watch it, but if anybody watching right now does not want to know what those announcements were, then I guess mute your audio, because I'll just let everybody know now. But it is confirmed that the next, and I've already talked about this on the podcast, the next TakeOver show is going to be two nights, back-to-back nights, WrestleMania week. So I think it's that Wednesday and Thursday. Night one will air live on USA, and night two will be airing exclusively on Peacock, because that's probably April 8th, I think. And April 4th, for those of you here in the U.S., WWE Network will be no more. WWE Network is shutting down in the U.S. as of April 4th, and that sucks, because now we know, and I'm going to get into this more on the podcast, episode 695 this Sunday, but there is no way that Peacock will have all of that classic content uploaded on day one. In fact, the migration happens next Thursday. That is when you will begin to have access to WWE Network content on Peacock, is March 18th. But both will still be running. April 4th, no more. WWE Network as a standalone app goes bye-bye. And Peacock has already said that all we're going to have access to is all the new stuff. So these new documentaries and specials and Raw Talk and Talking Smack. And I think they said all pay-per-views and shows from the past 12 months. And that's all we're going to have. How quickly can they upload all the old Raws? Or if you're one of these people like me, you know, what I've been doing for the last few months, most nights before I go to bed, I'll put on an old episode of Superstars. I'm watching them in order from 92 into 93, whether it's the old stuff, the home video stuff. They're saying that they don't expect all that stuff to be up at least until August. And that includes old pay-per-views. So if you are somebody who kind of lives on the network and watches a lot of the old stuff, you're going to be fucked for a while. And I think that's terrible. But this also would probably be a good time for me to go ahead and let everybody know about the ExpressVPN offer. So I've talked about this before, and you know a lot of people probably use VPNs and know all about this. But yeah, if you want to have access to network content from the network outside of the U.S., where it will still continue to operate as it does now. I haven't tried it yet myself, but my belief is that if you use a VPN, you'll probably be able to continue to use the network. Maybe it's through the UK, maybe it's through some other country. So if you don't have a VPN, now's a good time to use our link. ExpressVPN.com/Solomonster. Use that link. You'll get some time free. And you'll be able to keep up with the WWE Network, because I know a lot of people are very upset, you know, about the whole situation. It sucks, but it's all about money. It's all about money. They're going to make their money. They don't care. I can only hope that once Peacock gets a hold of this, that they don't just kind of look at it and go, eh, all right, whatever. It's not a priority. I don't get the sense that Peacock gives a shit about 1994 episodes of Wrestling Challenge or something being uploaded. So I do fear, for those of us who care about the classic stuff, I do fear how this is going to turn out. But we shall see, right? Until it actually happens and takes effect, we don't know. Maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe they'll be able to get some of the classic stuff up a little bit quicker. We'll just have to wait a little bit longer and see. Now, I want to find out what you guys thought of the show tonight and everything else going on in the world of wrestling. So I am going to answer your questions. I'm going to read through your super chats here. And I want to thank everybody who did take the time to drop one. You guys are awesome. And everybody who hit the like button as well, please, if you haven't already done so, hit that thumbs up. It would be most appreciated. It does help the video out, and it helps balance things out from all the thumbs down. Gotta have more thumbs up than thumbs down, right? Ain't that right, Ryan Spies? I can tell you're going to be excited, he says, for that Kip and Miro versus Chuck and OC rematch. Since you have loved this... I'm just feeling peachy. Can't you tell? That's my excited face. I can't wait. Boston Games Real. Thank you for the $10. Found your podcast a few years ago. Absolutely love it. You crack me up. Greetings from Long Island. That's Boston from Strong Island. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I might be a Long Islander myself soon. I'm giving it some thought. We might be neighbors. We'll see. I think I'm about done with the city. I think I'm ready to get the hell out of here. Ken terminated by DQ. Thank you for the $5. The WTF moment, besides the audio issues, was when Omega told Callis to 69 him. By the way, thanks for responding to my comment this week. Well, you're very welcome. Yes, that was a very head-scratching moment. not my favorite moment of the show. Ryan, again, to be honest, I was expecting the first Women's Dynamite main event to be Britt versus Sheeta for the title, with Britt finally winning, but what they're doing is cool. Jacob Donnelly with the $5. What a great ending of the show. MJF fits a horseman role nicely. He really does. I think if you were going to put him in a faction, again, him in that Ric Flair role is just perfect. That's my Katrina reaction there. I had to make that a super chat. People wanted me to make that a super chat. So ask and I shall, and you shall receive. That was quite the reaction. I enjoyed seeing her more than I enjoyed seeing Vince Russo hijacking the beginning of my stream tonight, bro. There's something I bet you thought you'd never see. Me going live on the air, and the first face you see is Vince Russo right next to mine. That must have been a shock to the system. Jacob also says, I'm very much into a Pentagon singles push. If AEW is interested in Thea Trinidad, I say pair them up immediately. Well, she should be outside of her 90-day window. I don't know if they've had conversations yet or not, but I think if they wanted her and if she were interested, then you got to make that deal happen. I think she absolutely could contribute. Chris Young, thank you for the 10 spot. Appreciate it. Tyler Williams, I love AEW, but with the audio issues, weird segments, and the confusing heel turn at the end, this may have been the worst Dynamite that I have ever seen. Wow. I wouldn't go that far. It was not the best Dynamite. I don't know what was confusing about the heel turn at the end. What was confusing about the heel turn? Seemed pretty straightforward to me. MJF had a backup plan in case Jericho turned on him or figured out what he was trying to do, or if there was a mole. And he's been basically conspiring against this group from day one, which I told you is exactly how this was going to play out. He would conspire against this group to either oust Jericho or just tear them up from within. It seemed pretty obvious that was the way it was going to go. And I didn't predict this little twist, but otherwise, it pretty much went exactly the way that I told every single one of you it was going to go. So if you had been paying attention to me, this would not have been all that confusing. But thank you, Tyler. Milo the dog, woof woof, says, WTF did I just watch? See, now I don't know if that's in reference to Dynamite or if that's in reference to the Russo video at the beginning of the stream. That came in an hour ago, so it could have been for either one. Oz and Glorious, I got in touch with TNT support during the NBA stream overlay, and they were 100% at fault with the X-Over from their website stream. Enjoyed the show. What game was that? Somebody tell me what game that was. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, MJF in a new faction with FTR, Sean Spears, Tully, and Wardlow is a great idea. Well, Tyler doesn't think so. Tyler has a different opinion. Look at this. Naya's hole is now blocking all of my super. It's a big hole blocking all of my super chats here. But thankfully, I can see them in another window that Naya's hole cannot get to. Epsilon Sue. What do we got here? Here we go. Epsilon Sama. Thank you for the $5. I think AEW did the best they could to fix the disaster of Revolution. Kingston Moxley promo was fire, and Kenny and Callis segment was good as well. They tried. They definitely tried. Mr. Rick Ruin with the $10. Love the show. Been a listener for over 10 years. But who cares? They best call this new stable The Apocalypse. I think that would be a fantastic name. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the 10. Corny's head probably exploded when Omega and Callis started to 69 each other. I can only imagine what he must be thinking after that segment. Rodimus Prime, again, thank you for that 50 spot earlier. Saw the last few minutes of Dynamite, great ending, but seeing Vince Russo, bro, that just made me laugh. Jared M., no message, just dropping love. $55. That's the big super chat of the night. He just, look at Rodimus. Rodimus probably thought, man, I'm going to be number one for the night. And literally the one that came in right after him beats him out by five. Thank you, Jack. Nyef, thank you again for the $9.99. Drew Johnson with the $5. Solomonster, you're the man. Thank you, Drew. That means a lot. I didn't think I was the man when I started this stream. Before I even went live, I'm looking. I'm like, what the hell? We've got the 5 thumbs up and 4 thumbs down. What's going on here? Oz and Glorious, second Sopranos reference in 1 week. I hope you're enjoying the Talking Sopranos podcast with Imperioli and Sharippa. Favorite episode besides the Pine Barrens? Oh, man, you took, well, I mean, I would have said Pine Barrens. God, favorite episode besides Pine Barrens. I'm trying to think of a specific one. I like most of them. You know, I even, it's still probably the weakest one, but I over the years have even warmed up to the Test Pattern one that came in one of the last couple of seasons there. I don't know, Pine Barrens is tough to top though, man. Pine Barrens is tough. You know what though? Maybe the one, I enjoyed the one where Tony and Christopher, they kind of, they go off and they steal the wine from the Vipers, the biker gang. And then while they're at dinner, they're kind of joking about the shootout and everything. And I always love the way that Tony just, you know, he kind of mocks them. He goes, "We're with the Wipers. We're with the Wipers. We're with the Wipers." I just fucking crack up every time. Every fucking time. Oh, my God. But you know what? Honestly, one of the best episodes of any television show ever is the episode where he and Edie Falco have their big dust-up in the house where she, like, cries and you know, I found the fingernail from the whore that you've been fucking and all this stuff. Like, the acting in that scene, her acting is just like some of the best I've ever seen. We're with the wipers. We're with the wipers. Dried chicken without flavor. It's great to see my favorite woman, Maki Ito, tonight on Dynamite. AEW Revolution last Sunday was overall good, but the ending was a bit anticlimactic, like The Lost Boys. Yeah, I just saw The Lost Boys for the first time, believe it or not. I had never seen The Lost Boys before, and I just saw that movie about 2 months ago, and I enjoyed it. I don't know why it took me so long, but I enjoyed it. Charles Grape, love your show. Always great to hear your 2 cents, so here's 500 of them. Thank you. I appreciate that. Dried Chicken, here's my conspiracy theory about the audio issue with Ethan Page. It was Don Callis and Impact Wrestling's fault who was behind the audio issues. You might be onto something. I know Ethan Page was very upset about the way that they used the footage of him as, what was it, like Karate Man? Or whatever. That weird segment on one of their pay-per-views when he left the company a few months ago. I get the sense that things did not end well between Ethan Page and Impact Wrestling. One and only, Kenny Omega's title reign is not bad, but what could AEW do to make it better? I feel like the Inner Circle MJF feud will soon overshadow it. I would like to see him defending the title more against, you know, people on the roster. I mean, I like the stuff they're doing with Impact, the whole interpromotional stuff. I get it. You know, I think that's cool. But I would love to see him, you know, every few weeks have a match on TV against, you know, like a younger guy or something, even if it was non-title. Just to put him out there a little bit more, feature him a little bit more. You know, as far as like what they could be doing to make him better, I really just think right now, after what we saw tonight, you know, he's got an issue set up with multiple people. So, and that I think is a positive thing. I like that. I like the fact that they have all these different people who are kind of coming for him. Now it's just a matter of how do you prioritize what his next match, his next feud is going to be. He's got to kind of juggle these people now. Does Moxley get another match? I don't see why he would. He's now lost 2 in a row. I did like what they did with him tonight, though. Ali Nadeem, they should have Christian feud with Matt Hardy. Then WWE will have Edge and Jeff Hardy feud, and then there'll be 1,000 little shots from both sides. Dried Chicken, Kenny Omega is going to start hearing Drake in his head playing, I got enemies, got a lot of enemies, got a lot of people trying to drain me of my energy. Jacob Barnes, just saying hi, Solo Monster. Keep up the good work. Hi. How you doing? The Carpetbagger with the $9.99 super chat. That's the Russo on a pole, bro. Come on, how do we not have more of those? Especially after the video I played at the beginning. If ever there was a night for those, the $9.99 ones. Russo on a pole. Do you think this is a setup to finally do blood and gut? Well, I just said that. I just said that at the end of my review. See, we think alike. Absolutely feels that way to me. Maybe they can hold off for a while until they can get into a different venue. That would be nice. But it absolutely does feel like this is going to be the setup for an eventual blood and guts match. Ryan Spies, based Sean Spears, said no one ever except Ryan Spies. So hail. With the $5. Undertaker versus Bad Bunny. Your thoughts. Anything is possible. I never expected to see The Undertaker on a Dr. Disrespect stream, but we got that. Oh, yes. You didn't know about that? Look it up. Undertaker made a little cameo on a Dr. Disrespect stream some time ago. Dried Chicken, more factions in AEW means they are actually following the New Japan blueprint, which I really want. Factions can also help the pro wrestling industry, as long as you don't go too crazy with it. We have a lot of trios. think about it. We don't really have a lot of, like, factions in the traditional sense. To me, like, a faction, a real faction, is, like, 4 or 5 people. We have a lot of trios, though. We have a lot of those in AEW. Beyond that, who do we have? We have this new group. We have the Inner Circle. We have the Nightmare Family. And in terms of, like, real factions, I guess the Dark Order would be the other one. I think everything else is pretty much just trios, isn't it? I mean, Death Triangle, SCU, and even SCU. I mean, you know, Scorpio's doing his own thing now. I just think you don't want to go too overboard with it. But I think factions, absolutely, factions can make things more interesting. And then when they break up, right, you've got that whole drama that you can play off of, which is what we're seeing now with the Inner Circle and the new MJF group. Carpetbagger, Mariposa versus Sexy Star in No Mas. That's what it was. The No Mas match. That was where Sexy Star, when they put the microphone, it's like an I Quit match, and they put the microphone in her face, and she said, like, Mariposa, like, fuck you, Mariposa. And everybody popped. I popped. Everybody popped. I don't pop for Sexy Star now, because she's a terrible person, but that match was great. That match was awesome. The Genius says, Jason, 69 me. No. I'm not going to do that. But thank you for the $2. Not for $2, I'm not. If you up that a little bit, we'll talk. For $2, I can't do that. I mean, even I have my standards. PW Hustle with the 5. This is just a little something so people know that you and I can't be beat in these mean streets. Thank you, A-Track Brown. I hope A-Track is doing well. Dried Chicken. AEW needs to get out of Daly's place. I am still predicting this year AEW will go back on the road. I think they will too. They could go back on the road. It just doesn't mean that all of these buildings are going to open up the full building. But if you go to a building that normally would fit 10,000 and they cap their capacity for the rest of the year at 5,000, hey, that's 5,000 people spaced out in a building not named Daly's Place. I'll take it. And I like Daly's Place. Daly's Place is a very nice venue, but you know, you get Daly's Place fatigue. Thunderdome fatigue. So even if they can get out at a reduced capacity but start to travel back to some newer venues, I think that would be a welcome change. Sohail again, ring did not implode at Revolution. Wild card rules. Oh, you remember. You remember my old rule. That was how WWE for months would just explain everything away. Nothing had to make any sense on Raw. You could just say, wild card rule. And that just explained everything away. I forgot about that. That's exactly what they should have done. They should have Tony Khan just walk out there at the end of the pay-per-view on Sunday. Wild card rule. And then all of a sudden, everything makes sense. Milo the Dog. Thoughts on AEW potentially absorbing Impact, if that is where all of this is leading. I don't believe it is. You know, Impact is owned by a billion-dollar entity. Or at the very least, a multi-million dollar entity. And Impact will be around long after you and I are gone. Impact will be around long after AEW is gone. Impact will be around long after the human race has been pretty much exterminated. And the only thing left in the world, on planet Earth, are the cockroaches and Impact Wrestling. And in fact, the cockroaches will be the ones attending the shows. The cockroaches will be in the ring putting on the matches. It will be their world under the Impact Wrestling banner. I am convinced that this company will never die. They've had more. I mean, this company has had more comebacks than Terry Funk. So what makes you think that they're ever going to be absorbed? If anything, they'll be doing the absorbing. They'll find a way. I don't think we're that. I don't think that's headed that way at all. Yeah, see, Dan Brown has it right. Impact will outlive Twinkies. So that says a lot right there. Bryant Becerra. I think we're all caught up after Bryant. Bryant, thank you for the $10. New NXT Women's Tag Team Champion. I forgot to mention the other announcement. Thank you for reminding me. New NXT Women's Tag Team Championship debuted tonight. And what happened afterwards, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but damn. Yeah, I saw what happened. I just think this is stupid. You have women's tag team titles. And I know the women's tag team titles in this company have been featured quite a bit of late. They've had Nia and Shayna bouncing around from show to show, as they should. But you have women's tag team titles. And really, no women's teams. You've got Lana and you've got Naomi. That is not a fucking team. You've got Natty and Tamina, who I guess have just come together because they're the elder statesmen on the show. And so they decided we have nothing better for them to do. We'll just put them together as a team. Fine. You've got Sasha and Bianca, who are not a team, but they're going to get another match for the tag team titles. Who else do they have? Like a real team. Not some makeshift team that's been together for 3 weeks. They don't have very many. So did we really need WWE to introduce a second set of women's tag team titles for the NXT brand? Why could you not just have the NXT women? You have some teams down there. Why couldn't you just have them challenge now and again for the tag team titles? I mean, did you really need a dedicated set of tag team titles in NXT when you already have a pair of tag team titles that are not being used to their full potential on the main roster? It also, by the way, what it does, it now takes away. Now, I didn't watch NXT yet, so maybe William Regal explained some of the rules behind it, but I'm going to assume that that means that the whole idea of the NXT women, if they were to win, being able to float and make appearances on Raw and SmackDown, that goes out the window. Because now everything is going to be just exclusive to NXT. So now you've taken that little feature away. I don't understand why this was needed. It just seems completely unnecessary to me. They have a lot of women in NXT. Nobody has praised the NXT women's division more than I have. That is not the issue. The issue is that you have this other set of belts that were perfectly fine to be contested for. We did not need another set of belts. These are belts for the sake of belts. If AEW wanted to introduce trios titles, I would be okay with that. I've actually advocated for that because they have a lot of trios in AEW, and I think that would be a good idea. This is not a good idea. And I don't understand why they think it was necessary. Don Zell, thank you for the $2. Whatever happened to your TV Tracks YouTube channel? TV Tracks is not my channel. TV Tracks was a fan of my show. He was a fan of a lot of different podcasts. And we had worked out an agreement a long time ago for him to feature clips. And he just decided that he didn't want to do it anymore. You know, especially when the rules of YouTube changed and certain things that had to be done, it was a lot of work and it just wasn't worth his while anymore. And I'm actually glad things worked out the way that it did. I'm really happy it worked out the way that it did, because what it did was it forced me to, when he went away, figure out, okay, I have a YouTube channel. And I really should be using it more to its full potential, which I wasn't doing. And that's one of my great regrets. I've always regretted that. If you look up when this channel was created, I actually created the YouTube channel. I think it was like 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. It just wasn't really being utilized. It was always really about the audio show. And had I decided to actually, you know, put more effort on the YouTube side, we'd probably have double the number of subscribers by now, but it got neglected for far too long. But I'm very happy with the way I've built it up in the last few years. You know, if anything ever came along again and wanted to go back to that arrangement, I would say no, because it's all about this channel. It's all about growing this channel now. I'm not outsourcing it to anybody else. But I'm grateful for it because it really gave me a nice little kick in the ass and said, hey, let's turn this channel into what it could be. And I'm very proud of the work I've put into the channel. I'm very proud of the family that we've built up here. We see a lot of the same names and faces here every single week. Now we're doing the live streams. We're doing video stuff, stuff that when Trax was still around, I wasn't doing really any of that. So I'm happy. Things happen for a reason, and I'm really happy the way things have worked out and how this channel continues to grow. Of course, that doesn't happen without your support, so please keep tuning in, and if you're not subscribed, please do so. That will be very helpful. But Donzel says, I asked because it was my favorite YouTube channel. A lot of people discovered the show through Trax. And so they're very sentimental about it. They miss it, you know, especially because you had clips from different shows, not just mine. It was usually like two or three different ones. So, yeah, I know a lot of people have asked me about that over the years. And it's been a few years now. So I have not had any communication with him. I hope he's doing well. I don't know if he even watches wrestling anymore or listens to my show, wherever Trax may be. Hopefully he's okay. I suspect that after all this time, he will not be back. But if he was to ever come back, I wish him well, you know, but we've moved on and now we're growing this channel. And we had a lot of people migrate over from that channel here. Not everybody. As you could tell, some people think it was my channel. No matter how much I would tell people, it's not my channel. How come you took down Trax? Like, all right, you got me. Boom. I had him taken out. I had him whacked. There you go. The big reveal. Now you know. No matter how many times I explained it, though, it doesn't seem to really make a difference. But anyway, that's the answer, Donzel. So, Dry Chicken, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega will create a women's tag team division in AEW. It is inevitable, he says, like Thanos. We don't need that either. We do not need women's tag team titles in AEW anytime soon. You know, maybe in a year. Maybe as they build things up. Maybe the women's division turns a corner and they're just stockpiled with all this great talent and they have teams and we get to a point where it feels like, you know what, it's time for a women's tag belt or it's time for a women's show. I just don't think the division is... I know the division is not nearly at that point yet. So there's no need to rush into anything like that. Uffman Entertainment, I became a solo maniac because of TV Trax. I'm telling you, a lot of people did. A lot of people did. Very grateful for all of the support and the attention that it got. It was very interesting, though, sometimes when he would use a provocative headline, let's say, for a clip that didn't necessarily accurately reflect what I was saying in the clip. And then I would sometimes get these hateful messages and tweets from people. How dare you say this? I go, I never said that. What are you talking about? I saw the clip you put up. I said, I didn't put anything up. What are you coming after me for? That would happen quite a bit. So there is something to be said for having full control over what clips go up when and how they're titled and how they're positioned to make sure that everybody knows exactly what it's about, because that was not fun. When I would get messages like that, I would try to explain to people, I didn't do that. No. They would come after me like I had done something wrong. So I think we're all caught up on your messages, which is awesome. I hope I answered all your questions. I try my best. This is where we are with the AEW poll. At Solomonster, by the way, if you are not following me on there, please do so. At Solomonster on Twitter is my handle. You can vote in these polls, and I do love my polls. A lot of people do. A lot of people love my polls. And why not? What's not to love? Look at this, NXT, 64.7 up, 35.3% thumbs down. Thank you for all of your support, your super chats, your patronage. I very much appreciate each and every single one of you. I am already working on a big show on Sunday. That's going to be episode 695. We are getting very close to episode 700. And what I'm thinking is 700 will be a regular show. I mean, there's too much stuff to cover in the course of a week to do any kind of weird gimmick. But I believe episode 700 is due to be the week after WrestleMania. I think the weekend after. And so maybe what we'll do is we'll come live on YouTube that night and do a celebratory 700 stream. Sound off inbox style, answering your questions. How's that sound? We had fun with that on New Year's. I haven't done one since New Year's Eve, so maybe we'll do that. We'll do a double podcast that day. We'll go live on YouTube that Sunday night. What is that, April 17th or 18th, I think. I'll have episode 700 as normal, and then that night on YouTube, we'll come on here, and we'll answer your questions, and we'll hang out. You can celebrate with me. 700 episodes. I can't believe it. I was just re-listening to episode 1 the other day. Because I'm working on some stuff for these YouTube membership tiers that I'm going to be putting up here in a little while. And just to listen to those early shows, man. Oh my God. Let me tell you something. When these YouTube tiers go up, well, one of the tiers is going to have the lost episodes. So there are a number of episodes that are not available anywhere. And have not been for many, many years. Up to like number 84. And they're not all going to go up at once. It'll be a gradual, like this WWE Network move to Peacock. It's going to be a gradual thing. But you're going to hear some of these old episodes of me, like sound off episode like 13 and 21. And it's crazy. It's crazy to go back and just to hear what I sounded like. Oh my God. So I think those of you who decide to partake in that tier of the membership, you're going to have some fun going through those lost episodes. I look forward to getting that up soon. I will be back with you next Wednesday. Talking Dynamite, the big women's main event. So until then, be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a fantastic rest of your week. I will see you for 695 this Sunday. Check out all the other clips here on the channel, including the history clips that went up just the other day. And we'll come back and do this again next Wednesday. How's that sound? Sounds good? I hope so. Sounds good to me, too. Bro, I will see you next week, bro. Until then, take care, guys.